Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our 3 Ideas in 30 Minutes. A great opportunity as we prepare for Shabbos, get ourselves ready with some beautiful Divrei Torah, hopefully something inspirational, and also hopefully something that you could share at your own Shabbos table. As always, I want to thank our sponsor for this morning's class, sponsored anonymously in memory of Teddy Kellen, Shimon Tovia Ben Dov, Yehuda Leib Chaim. Our learning should be an aliyah for his neshama, and for those of us who live in Thorn Hill Mews, we continue to miss him dearly. Okay, we have 3 ideas in 30 minutes. Spectacular ideas, I think. Some very different ideas. As I always say, these parshas are really hard. They're jam-packed, and for the rest of our lives, we could only talk about parshas Vayera and never run out of things to talk about. But alas, we only have 3 ideas, and we only have 30 minutes. So here we go. Idea number 1 comes from Lot. In Sodom, Lot is surrounded. The people of Sodom surround the house. And the malachim, the angels, pull Lot into the house. And as they pull Lot into the house, they afflict the people outside with sanveirim, which is a certain form of blindness. Let me read for you the pasuk, and you'll understand just how strange the context of the psukim is. Vayishlechu anashim et yadam vayaviu et Lot. Aleim habaita, they reach out their hands and they bring Lot into the house. Ves hadeles sagaro, and then they close the door. In other words, they're protecting Lot from what's going on outside. Now, we last year, 3 ideas found on YU Torah, discussed why when the angels first come to Avram, they are called Anashim, and when they first come to Lot, they are called Malachim. We spoke about Chesed and the difference in Chesed between Avram and Lot. You can look at last year's shir for that. But here it says that they reach out, they grab Lot in, ves hadeles sagaru, and then they close the door. Again, they're trying to protect Lot to make sure that the people on the outside who are trying to break the door, because the previous pasuk says, vayifritsu ba'ish balon ma'od vayikshu lishbor hasadelet, they're coming and they're trying to break down the door. So the angels pull Lot in, esadela sagaru, and then they close the door. Then the pasuk tells us something interesting. This is chapter 19, verse 11. Vesanashim asher pesach habayis. So now you have a closed door. So on the inside, you almost envision like the movie scene. Lot's on the inside, and he's like, oh. And then they're pushing against the door on the outside. And you know, like in the movie where like the door is starting to bend and you don't know if it's going to break or not. So on the outside, Vesanashim asher pesach habayis, hiku besanveirim, mikaton ve'agadol. So everyone is struck with a sense of blindness from young to old. Vayil'u limso asapesach. And now that they are blind, they are unable to find the door. The question is, why do they have to lock the door? In other words, if in the very next pasuk they are going to be blinded and completely confused to the extent that they can't even find the door in the first place, so what's the purpose of closing the door at all? Why lock the door at all? If there is complete darkness, if there is complete blinded, if everyone is confused, and because in the very next pasuk they're not going to even be able to find the house, so why'd you have to lock the door in the first place? Okay, maybe you say close the door. Why'd they have to lock the door? What did locking the door contribute? When everyone could see, locking the door clearly wasn't enough, because our vision in the movie where they're bending the door, that, you know, is it going to break? Is it not going to break? And we're sitting on the edge of our seat. But if in the very next pasuk it's going to tell us that they were punished with sanveirim, in other words, that they were given blindness, and that there was a confusion to the degree that they couldn't even find the door, then why did they have to lock the door in the first place? Something I myself never thought about it. I'm guessing you never thought about it as well. We see a very similar idea in the Haftorah. The Haftorah introduces us to the wife of Ovadia. For those of us who've been coming to my Tanakh Shirim for many years, you'll remember when we studied Sefer Malachim Beis. So the wife of Ovadia does something miraculous in the house. And right beforehand, the Navi tells her something interesting. Says the Navi, Uvasa, go into your house, Visagart Hadelet Ba'adech Uva'ad Banaich, and you should close the door behind you and your sons, Vayatzakta Alkola Keli Ma'ela, Vimale Tasia, and you're supposed to pour oil into all these vessels, removing each one as it is filled, Vatelech Mito Vatisgor Hadelet. And she does exactly what he says. She goes and she closes the door. Why does she need to close the door over there? Why can't the door be open? What is so secretive about what is about to happen? Says the Malbim, something amazing. You want to know why she closes the door? You want to know the role that closing the door plays? Says the Malbim, Bal yichol ayin hara, ubal yikarev ish bilti ro'oi. Ubal yikarev ish bilti ro'oi. Says the Malbim, the reason why she's closing the door is that the influences of the outside are not going to come in and prevent the Kedusha from taking place inside her house. And so says the Navi, that Vatiskor Hadelet, she has to close the door. Why? Because she's preventing outside influences from coming in. And by preventing outside influences from coming in, she enables the Kedusha to be Chal. She enables the Kedusha to be able to stick with inside her house. Certainly, you can read this same idea into the story of Sodom. If the door is open, even if the people are unable to find the house because of the blindness, but if the door is open, so what does it symbolize for us? It symbolizes that the outside world of Sodom is still very prevalent, and it's going to prevent the Kedusha from taking place with inside Lot's house. And so sometimes, says the Torah and says the Navi, sometimes you have to close the door. Not because you want to keep out someone physically, necessarily, but because you want to keep out something spiritually. We, of course, know this to be true in our generation. We know that there are numerous influences surrounding us, some of which are amazing and so beneficial to us and so beneficial to society, and some of which, well, let's just say, are not so amazing and beneficial to us and to society. Our job as parents, as grandparents, as members of a community, as members of a society, is to figure out what it is exactly that we want to let in and what exactly that we want to keep out. And we have to be willing to, liskor hadeles, we have to be willing to close the doors sometimes, to not necessarily protect our houses physically, although we should do that as well, but more importantly, to protect our houses spiritually. Rabbi Reisman tells a fabulous story about the Baal HaTanya, who told a story about a certain very prominent individual. And the prominent individual heard that Mashiach was coming to Yerushalayim, that Mashiach had come to Yerushalayim. So the tzaddik opens up his window, sticks his head out the window, you know, like in the old days when you had those flip phones, not like the fancy phones that we have nowadays, but the old days when you had the flip phones and you had to, like, you know, you were like sticking your head out the window because you were trying to get reception. I have vivid memories of being on family trips and with the early cell phones and being in the middle of nowhere. And my father trying to, he was on call and he was trying to, you know, stick his head and circle his head to see if he could catch any reception whatsoever. Right. So the tzaddik goes out and he starts sticking his head out and he comes back in the house. He says, "Nah." He goes, "I don't sense the era of Mashiach." So the Baal HaTanya tells the story. And he says, why do you have to open up his window to stick his head out? Right? Wouldn't the heir of Kedusha have been in his base medrash, in his home? Why do you have to stick his head out? So the answer is he's sticking his head out to see not if in his home. His home, he knows there was Kedusha. But he wanted to see in the outside world, is the heir of Kedusha there? Right? Do I smell the bit of Kedusha outside? So that, says Rabbi Reisman, is exactly this idea of it is goras adeles and vesa deles sagaru. That sometimes we have to close the door. Sometimes we have to protect the inner sanctums to make sure that we preserve the Kedusha. When Rabbi Reisman said this idea over, it's actually amazing because Rabbi Reisman said this over 8 years ago. And 8 years ago, cell phones were nowhere near where they are now. And yet he goes crazy. He really goes into this whole thing about bringing cell phones into shul. Right? Why is it that we bring cell phones into shul? I was reflecting upon this idea last night in Minyan, as like 4 or 5 cell phones were going off. And Rabbi Reisman said, like, why are you bringing it in? Right? How do you expect yourself to have a meaningful conversation with the Borei Olam and with the Kedusha of the creator of the universe if your cell phone's buzzing the entire time? So sometimes we have to fit discourse adeles. Sometimes we have to recognize that I'm going to a base Knesset. I'm going to a Makom Kedusha. And if I want to protect that Kedusha, if I want to have a meaningful rendezvous with my creator, well, it starts by disconnecting myself a little bit so that I can connect to something a little bit more. We don't have to do it all the time. Of course, we all have cell phones and we all have but sometimes, every now and then, we have to preserve the Kedusha of our homes. Says Rabbi Reisman, that's this idea of a tiskor hadeles ves hadeles sagaru based on a beautiful Malbim Bal Yikrav Ish Bilti Ra'oi, that the wife of Ovadia closes the door because she doesn't want any foreign influences to come out. She doesn't want anyone to interrupt the flow of the Kedusha into her house. And so sometimes you have to close the door, not to protect it physically, but rather to protect it spiritually. Very beautiful idea from Rabbi Reisman. Take it in whatever direction that you want and to whatever degree you want. But I think we would all agree that this notion of being protective of what we allow inside our house and not inside our house is something that we should all work on, we should all be cognizant of, we should be cognizant of for our children and for our grandchildren as well. Idea number two comes from a different part in the Parsha, and that is the Akedah, the end of the Akedah. First of all, you could spend the next 100 years talking about the Akedah alone. The Akedah, of course, has so many parts to it and so many ideas that we could talk about. But I've never focused on the aftermath of the Akedah. And after the Akedah, the Pasuk tells us, Yataya Dati, Ki Yare Elohimata, the angel, the Malach, comes to Avram, and it says, Ataya Dati, now I know, Ki Yare Elohimata, that you are a God-fearing individual. V'lo chasakta es bincha es yechidcha, and you did not withhold your son, mimeni, from me. Now, what's strange about that pasuk? Because first it says, Ataya Dati, right? Now I know that you are God-fearing and that you did not withhold your son. Who would you expect it to say? Not mimeni, not from me, but mimenu. In other words, you didn't prevent your son from God. You were willing to give your child over to God. That's not what the pasuk says. The pasuk says, V'lo chasachta es bincha, es yechidcha, mimeni, the angel says, you did not withhold your son Yitzchak from being offered to me, me being the angel. Well, that never happened. Avram's intention was at no point to offer his son as a korban to a malach. The exact opposite. Avram's intention was to offer his son as a korban to Hashem. So why does it say mimeni? It should say v'lo chasachta es binchas yechidcha me Hashem, mimenu, right, from God, but not mimeni. Why does the angel say that you didn't withhold your son from me? Avram's intention was never to offer his son as a korban to him. So the Gemara tells us, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer Osa Mitzvah Achas, Kana Lo Praklik Echad, that anyone who creates a good action, along with it we create an angel that emanates from that good action. V'ha'over avera achas, kana lo k'teger echad. And anyone who violates an avera, so they create an angel as well. So in other words, depending on what we do, whether we behave properly or whether we behave improperly, we create angels. We create malachim. And so if I do a mitzvah, if I do chesed, if I do the right thing, so I create a beautiful malach. And if I do a sin, so then I create the devilish malach that we know, the one with the red and the horns and the pitchfork, right? So, and what happens if I do something half-heartedly? What happens if I hesitate in my service to Hashem? So then I get a half-hearted malach. In other words, the malach is directly a mirror of my actions, okay? Now, we can look at this in a number of different ways. So for example, the Maharshan, Masech HaShabbos, tells us this exact idea by a different Gemara. The Gemara says, "B'derech shadam rotzeh leilech, ba molichin oso." That the path that a person wants to go on, molichin oso, they guide him. Now we generally understood that to mean that whatever path we want to go on, Hashem will encourage that path. But that's not what it says. It says molichin oso, they will guide him. Who's the they? Says the Marsha, the they are the angels that are created. So in other words, if I have an intention to do a mitzvah, if I do a mitzvah, so Hashem creates angels which are now going to escort me. They're going to clear away all the schmutz that's blocking me to allow me to create that positive deed. But derech shadam rotzeh leilech, if I really want something, bo molichin oso, they're angels that are going to escort me, that are going to enable me, that are going to make it a little bit easier for me to get to that mitzvah that I want to accomplish. Again, whatever action I do, there's an angel that is born out of that action. We have the same thing in the Gemara Maseches Tainis. I reference this all the time. When I come home on Friday night, says the Gemara, Tanya Rav Yosi Bar Yehuda Omer, Shnei Malachi Asharis Malavin Lo Adam Be'er Shabbos Mibesa Knes Lebeso. That every Friday night when we come home, it's a Gemara Maseches Shabbos, So whenever we come home, on Friday night, so there are two angels that are escorting us. Echad tov, echad ra. One of them is good, and one of them is evil. Uksheba lebeso. And when they come to our house, if the house, the table is set, and the candles are lit, and the kids are happy. So malach tov, omer, yihi ratzon shtei l'shabbos acher. So the good angel wins out. And he says, it should be like this again next week. And if I come home and the pillows are all over the place and the kids are in disarray and the table's not set, never happens in my house. So then the Malach Ra comes up and he says that it should be for another week. What's this Gemara that we have angels, they're escorting us? It's the exact same idea, right? That the Malachim are created by my good deeds or not. So if I come home and it's a Kedushadik environment and it's ready for Kedusha Shabbos, so then born out of that's going to be a good angel who's gonna escort me, and he's gonna enable me to continue that Kedusha for another week. And vice versa, if I come home and it's not a Kedusha Dick environment, it's an environment that's not set for the Kedusha of Shabbos. So then a different type of angel is born out. So now we understand the bizarre pasuk. Says the angel to Avram, Ataya Dati, Ki Yare Elohimata, I now know that you're a God-fearing Jew. Now, how does the angel know that he's God-fearing? So okay, v'lo chasachta es bincha sichicha, because I know that you are someone who serves Hashem completely. You didn't withhold any of it. You didn't delay. You weren't hesitant. You weren't reluctant. You jumped into the opportunity. V'lo chasachta es bincha sichicha. Mimeni. How do I know that you had perfect intentions? How do I know that you didn't hesitate? How do I know that you weren't reluctant? Mimeni. I know it from myself. The angel says, I am a perfect angel. I'm not a bad angel. I'm not the angel with the devil ears. And I'm not a half and half angel, half good, half bad. I'm a perfect angel. And the fact that I'm a perfect angel shows me that your actions were perfect as well. It's a great taich in the pasuk. Ataya dati, right? How do I know that you served Hashem completely? Mimeni, because I look at myself, says the angel. And from the fact that I am perfect, it means that your mitzvah was perfect as well. It's a beautiful understanding of the word mimeni. I welcome others because I think it's very difficult to understand. Once you point out the word mimeni, I think you'll all agree it makes no sense whatsoever. But I think the Musar Haskil for us, the lesson for us, is a reminder that every single one of our actions has consequences. That our mitzvos and our maisim tovim are not just limited to us, but we create other worlds by our actions. That we create other positive energy in this world simply by us doing the right thing. And Rahman al-Itzlan, if we don't do the right thing, then we create negative energies in the world. In other words, it's not just me who's impacted by my actions. But this whole notion of mimeni, the angel saying that angels are born out of our actions, is a reminder of the consequences, of our actions. It's also a reminder that like Avram Avinu, that when we do something, we shouldn't do it half-heartedly, but rather we should do it completely. We should do it with that zealousness, without reluctance, without hesitation, but to go right in. To go right in. If you remember Rabbi Goldberg's Shabbos Shuvah Drasha from 2 years ago, I believe, he spoke about, are you an amateur or are you professional? And the difference being an amateur dabbles, right? I'm an amateur runner. I run sometimes. I don't run another time. If you're a professional runner, you do not miss a run. You are out there every single day and you are giving it your all 100% of the time. So that's essentially, it's not just that our actions have consequences, but it's how we do those actions, right? Are we doing it with full zealousness, with the fullness of our heart, or are we doing it half-baked? That is idea number two. So idea number one came from Rabbi Reisman, the beautiful idea of a Sagarta Adelet. Why do we close the door, says the Malbim? Because she wanted to protect herself, not necessarily from people, but from the wrong types of people. She wanted to protect herself from the bad spirituality from seeping in. She wanted to protect the Kedusha in her home, and perhaps that's exactly what Stone was referring to as well. Idea number two came from the Akedah. V'lo chasachta es bincha sichicha mimeni. How did the angel know that Avram was perfect? Mimeni, because the angel says, I'm looking at myself. And the fact that I'm the good angel shows that you, Avram, also participated in actions that were wholehearted, that were good, that were not reluctant, you didn't hesitate. All of those are beautiful, beautiful things. Idea number three comes from Rabbi Soloveitchik. And I've shared this idea in the past in different contexts, and I still think it is one of the most magnificent ideas I have encountered. And I want to share it with you as well. Here, the Rav says this in two different places. The Akedah. We come to the Akedah, and Hashem does not tell Avram where he's going. Right? So Avram comes to Har HaMoriah, and the Pasuk says, Vayomer kachnas bincha sichicha asher haftas Yitzchak. Take your son Yitzchak, velech lecha al eretz Amoria, and go to Har HaMoriah, ve'aleu sham leola al achad heharim asher amar elecha. And I'm not going to tell you exactly where it is. I'm not going to give you the GPS coordinates. There's no Waze back then. There's no Google Map. Remember when you had to print out MapQuest? Remember, like, before you wanted to go anywhere, you had to go online and you had to print out MapQuest. And then there were, like, maps before that. You couldn't even print something online. I remember the road trips as a child. My mom sitting there with this, like, big map. And you're trying to figure out where you're going. Right. So picture Avram Avinu. Hashem says, I'm not going to tell you where this mountain is. You just got to go. So asks Rabbi Soloveitchik the obvious question. Why not just tell him where to go? Why are you keeping it a secret? The Rav points out that you see this very same idea in Lech Lecha. The beginning of Lech Lecha, Lech Lecha me'artzecha me'ladcha, u'mibeis havicha el ha'aretz, asher eka. Hashem says, it's a secret. I'm going to tell you later on where it is. Just tell him where it is. Right? Give him the ways. Give him the latitude, the longitude. Why do you have to guess? Why not just tell Avram exactly where he's going? Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, I think it's such a beautiful idea, and it's an idea that is very relevant to every single one of us. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik that once more, Avram had to search. In other words, Hashem did not want to hand it to him on a silver platter. Quite the opposite. Hashem wanted Avram to have to search for the mountain. Why did he want Avram to search for the mountain? Although the place itself was not very far, it took Avram 3 days until he found the mountain whose holiness attracted him. In other words, Avram implanted, in the covenantal community, a sixth sense, the ability to sense holiness. Just as the eye reacts to light, we must develop the ability to perceive sanctity. I love that idea. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, that Hashem didn't hand Avram the place of Kedusha on a silver platter. Hashem says, I want to see if your antennas are up properly to sense the Kedusha when you experience it. And the reason why I love this idea is because I think it's so relevant to every single one of us. You could have two people sitting there at a Shal Shudas. You could have two people sitting there at a dinner meal on Friday night. And for one, it could be like torture. And for the other, it could be the most geschmack experience in the world. What differentiates the two of them? The Kedusha of Shabbos is the same, right? The Kedusha of Shabbos is there. The holiness of Shabbos is there. The environment of the Tish, of the Verbringen, of the Shal Shudas, of the Shabbos meal, it's the same exact meal for both people. It's the same exact experience for both people. And yet for one of them, it is the most spiritually elevating, connected experience in the world. And for the other person, it is like experiencing a root canal. The difference is that for one of them, their antenna is up to sense that Kedusha. And for the other, it is not. I give the example of classical music. You could talk to two people classical music, and for one of them, they love it, and for the other one, they hate it. Right now, the classical music is the same. You could be in Carnegie Hall listening to Yo-Yo, whatever his name is, Yo-Yo Man, whatever his name is, right? He's playing the cello, and you could be sitting there. And for one of them, you could ask the guy, how was the concert? He could say, it was a little bit boring, right? It wasn't like the rock concert where you're bipping and bopping. Like, I fell asleep a little bit. It was very relaxing. By the way, never tell anyone who likes classical music that classical music is relaxing. It's the biggest insult ever. It's not supposed to be relaxing. It's supposed to energize you, right? But so you say, it was so relaxing, it put me to sleep. The other person, you could say, how was the music? They could say, oh, it was beautiful. Did you see how this and that and how he played this and that? It was What was the difference? It was the same exact classical music. For someone who has an appreciation for it, so it's amazing. But if you don't have appreciation for it, it's torture. That is exactly what Hashem wants from every single one of us. To see, do you understand Kedusha? Do you appreciate what Kedusha is? Do you have that sixth sense when you experience Kedusha? Is your antenna tuned in to the radio waves that are there to experience Kedusha? And so Hashem doesn't tell Avram where he's going. Hashem says, I want you to find it. And the challenge is, when you get there, are you going to know that you're in a place of Kedusha? Do you know that you're in a place of Kedusha? So I think this is a beautiful idea. It applies to Shabbos. It applies in time. When Shabbos comes in, are you and I sensitive enough to experience that Kedusha when Shabbos comes in? It applies to places, right? The land of Israel is not the same as everywhere else in the world. Land of Israel should feel different for us. We should experience it a little bit different from us. A shul should be the exact same way. It shouldn't be like our bedrooms. It shouldn't be like our living rooms. When you and I walk into shul, we should feel a little bit differently. Our antennas should be tuned in to a different radio frequency. We should have that sixth sense that says, you know what? This isn't my living room. This place feels a little bit differently. I'm sensing that Kedusha that I am in. The Rav says this exact same idea. By Lech Lecha, Ela Aretz Asher Areka, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, the covenantal community should be equipped with a sixth sense, enabling it to spontaneously be attracted to the holiness. Avram was tested to determine whether or not he possessed this capability. Right? Did Avram possess this capability? The Almighty has implanted in the Jew a sensitivity to the holy, to the Kedusha. We are supposed to react to Kedusha in the way that the eye reacts quickly and sharply to a beam of light. We should be able to sense that sense of Kedusha, and it's really a challenge to every single one of us. Do we have that? And if we don't, what do we need to do to get it? Sometimes you need to fake it till you make it. Sometimes you need to fully invest yourself in the experience in order to get something out of it, in order to experience it whatsoever. So too, Hashem tests Avram Avinu and says, are you able to sense that level of Kedusha? And so we saw our three ideas. 30 minutes. Idea number one comes from Lot and Sodom. Vatisgor esadeles. They closed the door. Why did they close the door? So we referenced the Haftorah, Vatisgor adeles. The wife of Avadia closed the door. Why? Because she wants to keep out spiritually destructive forces. So we said perhaps that's why they closed the door in Sodom. Not necessarily to protect them physically, as we said, that's going to happen in the next pasuk when everyone becomes blind. But rather, it's to protect them spiritually. Sometimes, Vatiskoras Adelas, we have to be mindful about what we let in, but also at what point we close the door and what we try to keep out. Idea number two came from a different part of the parsha, and that's the Akedah. What does it mean? V'lo chasachtas binchas yechidcha mimeni, that you didn't hold your son back from me. Avram was never intending to sacrifice his son to the angel. So what's the word? Mimeni. So we said, and we suggested, that perhaps the mimeni is the angel saying, you see it from me. In other words, I was born out of your action. And the fact that I am perfect shows that your actions were perfect as well, Avram. Mimeni was a description of Avram's zealousness. It was a description of his commitment in the way that he served Hashem. Idea number three came from Rabbi Soloveitchik, Parshas Vayera, which sounds familiar. I'm wondering if I said in Parshas Lech Lecha last year. If I did, I apologize. It wasn't in my notes from Parshas Vayera. But nonetheless, it's this notion of the sixth sense. It's our willingness, it's our openness to experience Kedusha. And it's a test for every single one of us. When we come into Shabbos, do we feel Shabbos? And if we don't feel Shabbos, then we have to work on that. We have to work on transitioning better into Shabbos. If we come to Eretz Yisrael and it's a land like any other, then we're missing something. We need, every Jew needs that antenna to be able to sense that sense of Kedusha. That is the test of Avram Avinu, and it's the test to every single one of us. Do we have that radar? Do we have that antenna cued into the frequency of Kedusha, able to appreciate and experience the Kedusha when we find it? That was the test of Avram. That is the test of every single one of those, every single one of us. And with that, I wish you and all of us a beautiful, meaningful, inspirational Shabbos. Hope to see you all next week for our next installment of Three Ideas in 30 Minutes.